full nature of consciousness as perceived through human eyes, and how I've learned to relate to life and the hero's journey that I am on in this brave new life, to really make use of the function and to really distill the archetypal narrative out of each opportunity that is before me. And yeah, I wrote a little bit about my my humbling, really, which is what it really was, the return to Jesus. I was raised in the Pentecostal church, and I was all pretty stern cult programming, you know, the band and the singers and the praise, and you know, and then every Sunday you can come forward because you can give your life again to Jesus. And it was something that became an archetypal narrative for me later in life. And so last year, was it 2 years ago? I don't remember. Time is just a bit of a... I ended up going through a tremendous rehaul in my life, like a Brazilian culling. I died, well, actually was very close to dying, really. That's what it felt like. And in that process, I encountered some of the darker, archonic presences that I didn't know as programs lived inside of me. And I was hoping through these relatings that I would get into that, but I'm never attached to where it leads to, because my story is just my story. And if it becomes relevant to share, I will. But the fantasy didn't really quite pan out the way that I had fantasized about it, really, me and my fantasy. So I have a lot written down that I feel, because it's about a human journey, my human journey, and how I relate through syntropy to this archetypal nature of consciousness, the hero's journey. I feel that it could be really inspirational and offering a way of relating to life, to ourselves, to yourself in what you're navigating. And for me, as I died, I think it was actually 3 years ago, my greatest hurdle, where my ego had really developed quite strongly in all sorts of spiritual philosophies, and I delved into the ancient wisdom traditions, and I learned so much about life outside of the context of an organized religion. And yet, to surrender again and get on my knees to connect with God, which imprinted on me, it's become part of my being, because that's what I grew up in. I had such resistance to it. It was such a liberating process. I think at the time I wrote something to the extent of Jesus, the comfort killer, because that was the last thing that I really wanted to be doing, is to surrender myself to, well, what you may call a higher power. But I had so much attachments to the Netherlands, to the way that that all was for me. And so to surrender into that and to humble myself into that was really, it was transformative. And it showed me, outside of all the narratives that one could buy into and believe, that there is a real person, and that there is a man in a cloud, and that he cares about what you think or don't think, whether you do this or you don't do that, that all is taking place here, because that's where all of our human interaction with the world outside is being rendered into something and matched to neurochemical associative memory. And my brother was very happy that I finally came back from, you know, being the lost son, that I think it's called parochial son or something, because I finally came back to the Netherlands. And I was experiencing, when you get bitten by these mosquitoes, there's a certain type, I don't know what it's called at the moment, but I was out for 18 days, and I traveled 3 countries while I was experiencing this tremendous reset. And he then asked if I wanted to be baptized. And of course, that was the last thing that I was going to go for. But what I've done in my comprehension of navigating the internal landscape is to really lean into the resistance and to really question it. And the best way to bring the resistance out is to kind of go into it and be like, well, because I resist, I want to do that. And so he took me somewhere, and it was bringing up all the programming that I had created myself, all the beliefs and all the ideas and all the, wow, it was really fascinating. And what I recognized in it is that my spiritual ego had become so strong and so clear of itself and so self-sovereign and so closed down. My heart was indeed closed off from that father principle on the archetypal plane. And I had spent the years prior to really reconnect with the feminine and come home to self, to the mother, to the womb, to be held again, to have that cord reconnected, although it was never broken in the first place, because if we're disconnected from life, we actually die. And so I dissolved all those imprintings that as belief systems kept me from really belonging and really allowing life to come into me and through me. And this was a really big one around God and around Christ, and it was so good. Wow. Because as I humbled, as a kid, I was fully attuned to speaking in tongues, and I'd always questioned, like, why is that even possible? And my brothers that were really all into all of it, really quite heavily, they never had that gift. And so I noticed it was still there, and I allowed it to come through, which was just another layer of resistance to allow life and spirit to really move through without comprehending how or why or what I'm really even saying. And I had learned so much over the years that it's really about following what feels good. And so as all that language started pouring through, and I feel this sort of downpour of energy coming into my cells, that was the question: does it feel good? And yeah, it did. Of course, then I had to intellectually wrestle with what did this all mean, and just like, does this, because the way that my brother that took me there was speaking about it is, of course, instantly inviting me, you know, back to church. And so I had resistance to that. So I did that as well. But I felt I was being contracted again into a series of belief systems. And I was so fortunate that through the study of syntropy and comprehending really the hidden hand of spirit through life, I was able to have an expanded perception for my own self on all of this. And that's not to say that anybody's ways of relating to reality is not valid. Far from it. It performs a function with purpose for ourselves. But I have found that there is an underlying discovery possible when we comprehend more that we are on a hero's journey, and it is a spiraling cycle, and it builds on itself. And when we make use of the function and the opportunity that there is in whatever circumstance and environmental conditions that we place ourselves in, whatever that is, if we make use of the function to find what still wants to be found, to resolve what's still actually unresolved, then the spiral expands, and it has the capacity to take us onto the next evolutionary expression of ourselves. And otherwise, we just repeat the same pattern again, and we end up in a similar relationship, whether that's with men or with women, or we create a similar constellation with somebody that we work for or work with. And I really became aware of the patterns, and it was really nice to come full circle, because that's what the hero's journey is all about. Come back home to the Netherlands and enter back into that mentality and the mindset that people are operating from, and to remain myself and yet not be stern about holding on to who I think that I have become. Instead, I just allowed myself to thoroughly die in that space mentally as a sort of identity. And yeah, I just feel the share around that because I recognize that that's not been shared a tremendous amount in what I have looked at or what has come my way. And I must say, I haven't really followed anybody in terms of looking this up and researching it, because I was told by my grandmothers that I'm just here to do it based on how life operates. And so that's what I followed. And with that, next week, I have a fantasy of watching this beautiful documentary, and it's called Finding Joe. And it's all about the hero's journey. It will be my 19th time that I'll be watching the documentary. And I feel really nice about you joining if you feel attracted to do that around this time next week, because that's what brings me joy. And we'll probably just live stream it so that it becomes stored also in the Earth Heroes immediately, because I don't know if I can do that here on the Zoom. And so that's something that I feel would provide a lot of context if anybody isn't familiar with it. And if you are, I would recommend watching that movie as often as possible, because it's really about rewiring my neurochemistry to how life actually operates, not based on the cult programs, belief systems, and the protective survival strategies and mechanisms. And I call it my Froopy land. Yeah, my Froopy land always gets destabilized when something enters into that space that challenges my beliefs. And the pillars of that Froopy land, with all of its rules and all of its, like, this is how life, and this is, and this is, and this is. I notice that when I am challenged or others are speaking in a certain way that is based on how they think the world works, whether, you know, they talk about geopolitics or this or that, I always find an opportunity to discover my own truth. And if I'm defensive around my belief systems because somebody's trying to contract me, I have usually afterwards just gone within to figure out why is there still somebody there that is feeling like he is being forced to change who he is, what he is. And have made use of the function of my Froopy land getting triggered a lot, because do I really want to have to defend my belief systems? Do I even want to have discussions? Do I even want to compare ideas? And of course, through feeling-based relating, I've come to remember that the most relevant thing I could do is just receive somebody. Because through the awareness of the hero's journey, I'm not only on my hero's journey, but the other person, most likely unconsciously, is on their hero's journey, and they are making use of me to discover themselves. So instead of making it about me and trying to figure out how I can kind of get myself out of this contracting way of communicating, I just ask myself, can I just be in receiving? And then I am in that still point again within myself, where I can just listen and thank somebody for sharing how they're feeling and what they're exploring, and that I feel nice about hearing what it feels real for them, which through feeling-based relating leaves everything with them. And unless they ask me a question on my perspective, on how I relate to it, I don't have to respond. It's not something that I need to, therefore, because somebody talks to me, give an intellectualized perspective of my reality too. And so I learned how to no longer have to defend my belief systems. And what that did on an internal level, it really kind of, in a very soft and very gentle way, it really bolstered and really fostered the resiliency of who I am within myself. I can be peaceful within myself as somebody tries to convince me of their greatest truth about how reality works, and I'm just receiving, and I can just listen to how they see themselves limited or not limited, navigating what is relevant for them to explore and just receive that. And with human beings that are navigating traditionally, that for them can bring up tremendous triggers, because now I'm not actually contractible, I'm just receiving. But if that's navigated from a real loving and kind place, and there is a little bit finesse practiced around it, it becomes a very beautiful metric for others to find out what it is that they are really actually looking for, because they're not looking to talk to me. They're talking to me so that they can express how they are exploring life in the living. And so recognizing that other human beings also are on their hero's journey made me so attracted to create this brave new life ecosystem with Imani. I'm on my hero's journey, she's on hers, everybody is on our own hero's journey, and we all are ultimately looking at finding Joe, finding ourselves, finding whoever it is that is still lost within. And so this goes very much into that internal landscape navigation and the simple truth. And I don't really like to talk about truths, but I found some foundational ones, is that the unresolved will remain unresolved until it's properly resolved. And that may sound very, you know, simple, but when I emotionally react still to circumstances and situations and people, the reaction that takes place in my cells that I have no control over is 9 out of 10 times simply and only speaking of something that is still wanting to be found. When I dive into that, I find out that there's still unresolved emotional imprinting. There's a story, and there's actually a person, a persona there. And that person has a name, that little boy, and sometimes it's been a little girl, it has a name. And so now that I've come to comprehend what happens when we disassociate through trauma, and that these parts split up off from the main self, how to bring them back home to wholeness so that I can be more in my body. And in that, I feel that it's bringing these sort of shattered off pieces, sort of soul shards, back into the wholeness of the form that I am. And it's not that my soul ever split off. It's really on a physiological level. It's really quite easily explainable when one understands what MK Ultra programming is all about. And unfortunately, we've all gone through that, because what MK Ultra programming all is just trauma-based mind control. And not that we are consciously being controlled, but mind control is not something that anybody that is actively trying to cause that in the world is actively participating in. It is understanding how to fracture the mind of humans and how to split off parts of self through showing them experimental experiences that are very contradicting to who we really are and how we really navigate. So the 9/11 event, for instance, or really any of these false flag staged events, if we witness them, what the underlying programming is to dissociate ourselves from ourselves, because it's such a radical experience. And in that, I have found that it can be really beneficial to look back through our own timeline and to discover what huge events the cells recall that are relevant. And so I'd just like to welcome anybody that feels to share